This is a special World Series champion Houston Astros edition of Backdoor Cover. We will have another episode coming out a little bit later today covering college football and the NFL, so be sure to check that out as well. Micah, cue up We Are the Champions to play as I introduce the podcast, please. Welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin, and I'm here with Dan Regester.
You are a champion in my heart, Ross.
And Dylan Chivalry.
Hi, Billy.
Also, special guest, World Series champion Barrett Dudley.
Thank you. Thank you. Nobody can take that away from me now.
Or
I'll always be introduced as World Series champion fan Barrett Dudley.
I meant to introduce myself as World Series champion fan Ross Bolin.
Barrett, yeah. By the way, I'm surprised no Astros gear on you today. Barrett wearing an Astros shirt, looking like a snack.
God damn it.
Is that a jersey?
No, because it doesn't have any number or name on it.
Okay.
So it's not quite a jersey.
So I'll give you my reasoning for not having the Astros gear on, and it's a sad one. But I wore all of it all week and last week, and it just got to the point where I didn't want to do laundry, and that's that. But I hit the MLB shop today.
You dropped how much?
Like 270, 280-ish.
Okay.
But what I like,
Barrett?
I've not hit the shop yet because
it's fucking sweet.
Because I want to swing by Academy and just see if they have anything. Because I feel the need to get my hands on some of this gear. Stat, you know, because a lot of the ship dates on MLB Shop were like
November
4th, and then you know that shop is just shitty at processing, so it's going to take like 2 days to get the order out, and then probably like
one
four
of the
more
things
days
I
to
ordered.
Get here.
I ordered a George Springer World Series Champion Edition jersey,
mm-hmm.
And the ship date's November 30th. But I don't fucking care. Give it to me all of it.
Can I tell you something about this T-shirt that I'm wearing right now?
Sure, sure.
This is the exact same T-shirt. Same sweat, blood, and tears on this T-shirt since it hasn't been washed that I wore to Game 5.
Ah.
When you were there.
When I was there.
For extra innings.
Much like you guys are noted goers of the Masters, I am a noted
game
goer
five.
Of
Game
5.
Game 5, World Series 2017, one of the greatest World Series games I've seen in my lifetime.
Everybody's saying that, so...
You need to put that in your Twitter bio.
Absolutely.
So it's
unbelievable.
True.
I think you add it to your LinkedIn.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. For a little bit of background here, Barrett... is from Houston. We went to high school together, so we're both lifelong Astros fans. That's why he's on the show today.
Yeah,
because we.
Congrats to you two.
Thank you.
I'm happy.
Hey,
I'm happy.
We worked really hard.
It's a huge achievement.
We will never forget this.
Are we ready to just jump into why this is so special, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I just want to like. Ross and I don't know who started this. It was probably Ross, but like in our group of friends. Watching Houston sports, we have an acronym called TIH. This is Houston.
Yeah, that would be me.
And about 99% of the time, TIH is used because we botch something incredibly. You know, we're stupid and we're awful and we're terrible.
It's used sarcastically.
Yes, and Houston sports is noted for these types of failures.
Well, it's derived from the movie Blood Diamond, where Leonardo DiCaprio says TIA, this is Africa, which is the saying for why things are so fucked up.
Yeah,
it's because this is Africa.
Okay.
And yeah, so I just took that and made it into Houston. And
I never knew the backstory on that, but I ran with it because
it applies.
It applies in a lot of situations.
Here's the thing. I feel like every other city is self-deprecating and like self-aware, except the city of Boston, because Boston never loses.
Yeah, Boston can suck it.
Yeah,
they can suck it.
Simmons tweeted after we
Dude,
won last
oh
night.
Oh, my God.
He was like, enjoy it, Houston. The first one is like feels the best. You can only feel that way coming from Boston,
okay.
Where you've won like 14 world championships in the past 8 years.
I almost quote tweeted him and was like, go fuck yourself, Simmons. But I didn't want to give him the like
satisfaction.
The satisfaction of no. What a smug
yeah.
fuck.
Yeah, that's
that dude, that tweet was one of my least favorite tweets of all time.
And I'm a Simmons guy. I like Simmons. But Boston,
he's a little rat.
But Boston fans, I mean.
He's like the god of
you.
Boston fans.
Yeah.
He's the perfect example of what makes those people so insufferable. Fuck that guy and his tweet.
But so the fact that this team did stuff like come from behind and hold leads and the stars showed up to play.
Find a way to fight through your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Like your bullpen.
I mean, like
make fun of Asians.
This was so...
Yes.
It was so, like, you know, counter to what I have watched with Houston sports for the past, you know, 22 years.
It was crazy because, like, in the couple of text groups I'm in, and then I had, like, a side family group that's, like, a couple of aunts. One of them lives in L.A. now, and she fucking hates the Dodgers. And between all these groups, everyone around the fifth, sixth, seventh inning is waiting for the other shoe to drop, for the meltdown, the inevitable collapse. And then when it never happened, it's kind of like, this is my first championship that I've been old enough to fully experience.
Yeah.
Because in 93, 94, I was too young to, like, fully grasp the importance of a championship that the Rockets
we were 8 years old.
Yeah.
The last time a Houston pro sports team won
22 years.
And you thought, like, this is the rest of my life. This is going to happen every now and then. And you have that drought.
You just don't have the understanding of, like, how everything has to go perfectly for you to get to that point. And that applies for all the major sports, but football, basketball, baseball. You got to be in a perfect position to win a championship. And even then, sometimes you don't. But it wasn't real to me last night. Even after the game, like, it took me going back and, like, rewinding and watching the last out again, like, an hour and a half later before I was like, oh, my God, we won the World Series.
We did it. We did it.
Like, this is not some bullshit prank. Like, they legitimately won the World Series.
With ease.
And beating three of the most storied franchises in the history of baseball in the Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers.
Yeah.
It was fucking nuts.
It's a great way to do it.
Yeah, it beats beating the Rays in 5 games.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It also beats being swept by the White Sox in 4.
Yeah.
And as someone who had, you know, no dog in the fight, that was one of the most entertaining championship series in any sport I've ever watched.
That
incredible baseball.
Made it that much sweeter because the easiest way to talk shit to a city that just won a championship is if the series sucked ass. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, congratulations. Nobody's ever going to talk about
that
this series again.
That was absolutely incredible though.
But This was one of the best of all time. It will be talked about forever. We'll see highlights from that shit and talk of the fucking amount of home runs and the baseballs being juiced. And
That's the kind of series that will make a non-baseball fan become a baseball fan.
Right.
Because it was just that
And that's why they juice those balls, baby.
The atmosphere surrounding baseball right now is...
It's the hottest it's ever been.
It's at a fever pitch. Like, baseball is hot again.
Dude, juice those balls.
After the Cubs... I mean, the
juice
Cubs...
everything.
The Cubs kind of started this
last year. Absolutely. They deserve full credit.
And that series was awesome.
Yes.
And it rolled right into this year with most home runs ever in a season. And the playoffs were awesome.
Baseball squanders this, though. Because they aren't great at marketing their product.
No, they're not, but you have to give them this. The setup they had this offseason with Frank Thomas, A-Rod, who's incredible somehow, like one of the most hateable players in the history of the sport, is an incredibly likable commentator.
The run A-Rod's on right now. Didn't J-Lo those pictures? God damn, dude. A-Rod has just become a likable character.
His stock is high.
He juiced. Everybody juiced. Who cares?
I really don't. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, but if they don't put A-Rod, Bonds, and Clemens in the Hall of Fame, that's a damn shame.
It is. But, okay, my point being, that crew they've got with Frank Thomas, A-Rod, who else is in that?
It's Big Poppy, who doesn't know English.
Big Poppy, who is incredible. His earpieces are diamond studded.
Yeah.
He's got diamonds all over his earpieces.
Wait, is Keith Hernandez part of that too?
Keith Hernandez.
Noted Seinfeld.
Of Seinfeld fame, yes.
Dude, it's an incredible crew. And they, like, you need that so bad. Like, with Inside the NBA the NBA so much because it gives you, like, this, like, it's like having a show you can watch that's like talking with your friends about every game or whatever. And that's how those guys, I just think they
guys that are like recently removed from the game that they're commentating on is, they give you, like, really interesting inside perspective on shit.
Super likable. It's not like some fucking, you know, dry ass professional sports commentator on ESPN who's hitting you with stats. They're like telling you about the real shit.
That's a really, really good point too, because like how sick are you guys of the Sunday crews that Fox and CBS bring out before NFL?
And after, like, they're terrible.
I was like I was driving in the car the other day and Terry Bradshaw popped up on Colin Coward's show. I switched it. he was awful to listen to because he's so out of touch and doesn't know what he's talking about anymore.
That's the old
and
media.
And they keep trotting
like the
out Bradshaw
media.
And Howie Long and like all these guys, Jimmy Johnson, like.
Dude.
You wonder why everybody's likes listening to Tony Romo so much, because he actually was there less than a year ago. Like,
which,
he knows what he's talking
which
about.
Which network is Randy Moss on?
ESPN.
He's on ESPN.
That crew does a good job.
Yeah,
I enjoy
better.
Them.
They're I think better. That's their
him
first.
And Charles Woodson.
That's their first attempt at getting back to like this more realistic commentating. I do enjoy them. Him and Charles Woodson are good, but most of their crews are shit. Micah asked a question, why do they laugh so much? That's them trying to seem...
That's how they get loose on set.
Yeah. And that's them trying to seem more
personable.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, you're right. Major League Baseball, and they kept saying it. Like, even the crew, they were like, dude, baseball is on fire right now.
The one thing that they need to figure out is still length of the games.
Sure. Yeah, the 5.5 hour game is
as,
too long.
As awesome as Game 5 was, you can't have 5.5 hour, 9 innings.
It's a half. It's a half of
it was
going to
be
day.
The if it had ended in 9, it was going to be the long. I think it was going to be the longest 9 inning game in history.
They tweaked it. They tried to expedite it by issuing the intentional walk instead of throwing the 4 pitches.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that saved you about 10 seconds.
I don't know
seconds.
What else they did.
No.
Though.
If a game's that long but that entertaining, it's perfectly fine. I don't mind that at all. I think a big part of it is just removing umpires. I think we have the technology where we can just have a guy looking at the screen.
But now you're getting into the old school argument of like the human element. And
oh, in 10 years, umps will not be calling ball strikes. I can tell you that.
Yep.
The technology already exists. That
the baseball purists are going to hold on to that
forever,
as long as they can.
I don't think so.
I'm with the purist on that part because I don't want to see a robotic strike zone.
I'm not sure that I do either. Like it definitely. It makes sense. It would speed up the game, but when pitchers are opening up are widening the strike zone and are getting those pitches like on the outside corner like that, like that's part
and it changes.
I don't like
game.
That's part of.
I don't
what
like
good
that if you've
do.
Been in the league a little longer, like umps give you a little bit more breathing room. I don't like that.
I didn't see
that happens
that this
in the NBA
season,
too.
Though. Oh,
well, happens, yeah, I get that, but
enormously
like LeBron
in
and
NBA.
Durant get the calls. Devin Booker doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, not fair point.
But well, okay, but back
shouldn't
to,
happen
back
either
to the,
sport.
To the length of the games, it was weird because we also had one that was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
game one.
Game one was the shortest. Was like
the shortest in World Series history.
It was like it was over before it started.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It was very weird.
And so, last night it was like midway between is this
yeah
3 hours and 37 minutes.
Okay, but here's the thing, that's just the nature of the sport. Because if you have these innings where teams are putting up 3-4 runs, they can run 45 minutes. That's just the fucking way it goes. Like, if you're moving in 3 pitchers in an inning, that shit's going to take forever.
All right, well, that brings me to the next thing. Because having a team in these playoffs and, like, being really committed to them and watching almost every single game also kind of brought up the point that...
You mean watching almost every single game in the playoffs, period, not just the Astros.
Well, mostly the Astros, but I watched some Cubs games too. And
but you watched every Astros game.
Yeah. Is the difference between regular season baseball and postseason baseball is massive.
Yeah, strategy.
It's a hot take.
Like, I mean, but it's so much bigger than other sports, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because there's 162 regular season games, so kind of just.
Well, but it's also
every game doesn't
that
have
when,
the type of monument.
When you like. I had completely forgotten about that element of the sport because it had been so long since we were competitive in the postseason.
To back up, to clarify, you're saying, like, popularity-wise, or like...
No, I'm saying playoff baseball is really, really fun and awesome to watch.
Yes.
And it's stressful, and it's,
okay.
There's tension and so much rides on
right.
every single pitch and swing.
Because a single... Yeah, like Dan said, a single regular season game is so insignificant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. a playoff game is so significant that there's so much riding on it. Playoff baseball is really, really hard.
It's up there. It's between that and NHL hockey.
And one thing that baseball has that other sports don't is the managing of the pitching rotation is hugely, hugely important.
Right.
Each game, obviously you have a different starter each game and how you manage a bullpen and when guys come in, when guys go out. There's a lot of strategy in playoff baseball, not so much in regular season baseball.
Yeah, it doesn't exist in the regular season.
Dudes are getting the hook if they walk a guy.
Yeah,
right.
Like, there's no wiggle room.
Or if they strike out a guy. It's fucking crazy.
It's just all matchups.
But so, I mean, even if that is an obvious or a common take, it still it kind of shines the light on the fact that, well, football is only 16 games and everybody plays fantasy. So right. it's fun the entire season. And regular season's better than playoffs a lot of the times.
I think you
NBA
guys, yeah.
like has all these storylines always ongoing, and the trade deadline, and LeBron and Kyrie, and like they manufacture so many interesting and intriguing storylines throughout the regular season. So baseball's got to figure out some way to make the regular season more interesting.
Yeah, to go back to just like baseball marketing their product and their players, I had this conversation with my buddies last night. These guys go out to the bar, like Bellinger, Altuve, and everything. How many of them are getting recognized?
Right.
Like,
right.
How many of them are recognizable guys if they go out to the bar?
Well, it's in large part due to the like social media blackout that Major League Baseball has installed, which is like, if I go on the internet and want to find...
That's true.
If I get on Instagram and I want to find highlights from any basketball game, I can do it in 2 seconds. But Major League Baseball is super protective of their product, and that's what Dan's referring to, is like the... A lot of the stuff these days, it's not even about finding ways to market yourself. It's about not limiting the public's ability to market for you. And the NFL has had trouble with that, too. Like, there was a point in time where if you were putting Major League Baseball or NFL highlights on Twitter, your account was getting banned within, like,
yeah.
the 24 hours.
Yeah, basketball does a really good job with that, though.
Yeah,
Adam Silver just lets it fly.
Oh, they don't give a fuck.
No. Which is genius, by the way.
Yes.
Like, I mean, if we were seeing web gems on House of Highlights all season... Like
be different.
That would be huge.
It would
baseball.
At least, and it's like that. Even if like honestly, I fucking hate web gems because it's just the same shit over and over. But it's because it's like 163. Yeah. However, there's so many, but it would keep me at least slightly more engaged.
Well, and then people would know who like McCutcheon's
making all these
on the Pittsburgh
plays.
Pirates was.
Yeah,
fucking sure. Mike Trout. How many people in America could name Mike Trout? Well, or like if they see a picture of Mike Trout, they'd be like, oh yeah, plays for the Angels.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a problem,
and
but it's
the biggest,
also what
he's the biggest name in the sport.
It's also what
best player.
It's also the end result, which is a more meaningful and exciting postseason experience, partially because of the insignificance and length of the regular season. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but yeah, for sure, there's got to be something they can do to better the experience because nobody wants to watch that many games. Nobody even. This year, the whole time, Astros fans knew this was a year where we were going to compete for a championship, that we had a really good shot to make a postseason run. And even so, you got to be a fucking psycho to watch every game. Do you have any idea how much time that is? You essentially would have to abandon everything else in your life, well, including your family.
I did purchase the MLB Phillies package this year.
Yeah, but you didn't watch every game.
No, I watched all of like 12 games.
Yeah.
How much was that Phillies package?
It's like $110.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And honestly,
to watch like the worst
that's
team in baseball.
Kind of the, yeah, that sucks. Bad year. But it's kind of the thing is it's like, yeah, if I bought the package, I probably would have watched like 20 more games than I did. But there's no fucking way I would have watched like 50 or 60.
Right.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I think it's for older guys. You get home,
it
get
it,
off
it
your,
is.
Like that's what Waterman Dan does when he gets
that's
off.
That's true, yeah.
From his shift.
Waterman Dan's father.
Yeah, he just sits in his recliner, puts on the Phillies, just takes a nap, kind of listens.
Yeah, I know guys like that.
Well, I mean,
like that are my age, and they're just sad.
Yeah, our buddy, the guy in our hometown group text that watched the most Astros games, is a father now and is a lawyer and, like, comes home, finishes up work, puts the Astros games on. Like,
right.
That's
right.
He is at that level. He's in that.
Yeah,
there's
it's a stage of life that you get to where... Yeah. Baseball, a regular season baseball game is a very relaxing thing, similar to watching a golf tournament.
Sure. Yes.
And it's familiar sounds, and for the most part, it's lacking in excitement. And there's not a lot of yelling or anything, and you just kind of doze off.
And you really just want to...
That's fucking it.
You want to get away from your significant other.
And yeah. You hate your fucking wife and kids. And
and then playoff baseball is the exact opposite of that.
And yeah. It's, yes.
When every pitch, it's like, holy shit, what's going to happen?
Okay, funny. I got to call my brother out here. My brother Sam... who, you know, he works a lot, and he also is a napper. We're nappers, the Bolins, notorious nappers. okay. I've referred to myself as a nap god, but my brother's girlfriend sends us this photo in the ninth inning when the Dodgers are batting. The ninth inning, and it's my brother passed out on the floor.
Oh no.
And she's like, when should I wake him up? I was like, wake him up right the fuck.
Had he been drinking?
No, he's just tired.
That's sad.
Yes.
Dude.
That's
Sam.
Sam.
Sam, you got to call him. We got to talk to you.
Got
to
call you out. Got to call you out. I don't know how you did. Like, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just working so hard that he, like, passed out. But come on, man. You're 25 years old.
Passed out from excitement.
Can you drink a fucking Red Bull.
Can you imagine a level of fatigue where you would not have stayed up for that entire game last night?
No, and that's why I'm concerned. That's why I bring this up, because it was... Frankly, it was concerning.
Like, and even though he's not an Astros fan, Jared Borslow, noted TFM writer, told me he fell asleep in the eighth inning of Game 5. I don't know, which I thought was impossible.
Well, Jared's a trash human.
Well, that one went really late, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one,
yeah.
And, no,
yeah.
That's understandable.
Well, I don't want to put my brother and Jared in the same box, because my brother doesn't deserve that.
And so. It wasn't a pivotal. I mean, it was, but the series wasn't going to end that game.
Look, we had a four-run lead. He fell asleep. I'm not. He was woken up. Thank God he has a good girlfriend who took care of him. But I'm just saying, it was weird.
And that's really the only negative thing to say about the series, is it was very anticlimactic.
For people who expected to get the same level of excitement as Game 5 every game, sure, yeah. And that's happened before with baseball series in particular, where like. You'll have one game, and it's the first, like, let's say game one's kind of typical, and you're just like, yeah, whatever. But like, game two or three is crazy exciting, and everybody jumps on board the series bandwagon to, like, get super into it, but then the rest of it's normal. It's just kind of a letdown. At least we got, like, three or four of those. I'm just psyched that the series was as exciting as it was.
I saw that take a lot last night, that, like, game seven didn't live up to the hype, which I get
from an
outsider's
perspective.
Everybody
else, suck our dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Suck our dicks.
Because guess what? A 5-run lead sure as shit didn't feel like it last night.
No.
Not with our bullpen.
And they had like 15 base runners.
Yeah. Yeah, the way they kept leaving runners on base, I was like, surely they're going to break through and hang a four spot somewhere very soon.
Especially the way
never,
the balls
they just
juiced.
Kept finding a way to get out of it.
Yeah, especially considering the amount of home runs hit this off.
There was a play, I forget which inning it is. There were two runners on, one out, and there was a line drive to second or short. I think it's shortstop. Correa caught it and flipped it over. They got out of that one, and I was like, all right, game's over now, because they are not getting any more chances like this again.
That was huge. There was a few moments like that where it was like...
Sixth inning probably had happened, six or seven.
Yeah, where it was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
That's when I knew...
They just kept finding ways to get
like,
out of the inning.
Deep down inside, I was like, these guys are fucked. We've got this. But no part of me in my mind was willing to... To admit victory yet.
Oh, no way.
Like, even a little bit. Like, I was just sitting there on my couch, like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, what? We're going to win the World Series.
Can we touch base on the Vegas gambler?
So what's the story with this guy?
Okay,
I was selfish yesterday, and I didn't care.
Anonymous Vegas gambler who apparently won every game from 1-6.
And was letting it ride?
No. All right, so... The original reports were he built up his bank account because he got every game right, like Strohs, Dodgers, whatever, however the order went. He got every game right. He was 6-0 in the World Series. And they're like, all right, well, surely he's going to let it ride, try to go for that perfect series, like double up $14 million. Right. And last minute he pulled out, and I just got to call him out for being a bitch.
Well,
he's $14 million richer.
He walked away with $14 million.
But you never.
I call that smart.
I don't know. I don't know if you walk away from a heater.
You do when the heater has given you $14 million.
Walking away from a heater is the only way that you
ever win ever
make money.
Yeah, it's the
gambling's not about making money, Barrett.
It's
about
also
the thrill.
True. I agree with both. Walking away from a heater is the only way you can win money, and gambling is not about making money.
Yeah, well, that would be why I don't gamble.
We are smart men.
Yes, you two pussies are.
The thing is, it's like 6-0. You have one more game. You could have went perfect on the series.
Dude,
like
$14
you left that
dollars.
On the table.
It's totally circumstantial. If it's me, I'm walking away with the $14 million. If this guy's a billionaire, yeah, he should have let it ride.
Yeah, but what if he had the Astros last night? How bad do you feel right now if you're him?
You're just like not that bad. You have $14 million.
Yeah.
The original report said he was going
let it ride.
He was going to, and then
he picked the Dodgers though, so he would have lost.
Ooh.
Yeah, still, I feel like, I don't know. I think you let it ride. Game 7.
$14 million on a baseball game. Are you out of your goddamn mind? That is absolute poppycock.
It's house money. The 5-1 score.
It's not real.
Yeah. Made it so that both teams scored the exact same amount of runs in the 7-game series.
Wow.
Which I just think.
They got to play game 8.
It evens it out.
No, we're done. We're done.
And thank God we're done. I'm not sure how many of those games I had left in me. Like, probably shaved 2-3 years off my life just from stress watching all of
I'm
that.
I have a lot of respect for you, our buddy who we've already referenced, who was at the game as well, game five. My dad was there. I barely survived that fucking thing at home. If I had been in the stadium, it is very likely that I would have needed to self-medicate to, like, beyond alcohol to maintain consciousness.
I don't know if it changes much being at the event and watching it from home. At least you get to share the anxiety with hundreds of 100,000
people. No, but it's like, that's the problem. Is like, I can handle my own. If I'm sitting at home watching the game, I can kind of temper my anxiety and the intensity levels. When you're in the stadium, it's hard because everybody is on the edge of their seat, and you kind of feed off of each other.
Yeah, maybe.
That's for me how it feels. Anyway.
I'll tell you this. So I noted in game 6 and 7, Jason Bateman was at the game.
Yeah.
Sitting in great seats, sitting behind home plate.
And fantastic seats.
And he's a radio in the ear guy. That's how into it he
very, wow. Very interesting. And alone, by the way.
Yeah.
Did not appear to be with anyone.
No. And after diving in to this long playoff run for the first time in a long time and getting to go to a game, that was one thing that I'm forever now. I'm becoming radio in the ear guy.
Really? You can't hear
because
shit.
you get no like context when you're there. Nothing.
Yeah.
You have
like
no
if there's a replay going on, you're like, what is this?
Yeah,
fucking
you don't get any.
For?
You don't get any replays like you do at an NFL game.
What is this replay for? What are they reviewing?
You don't know what's happening. Right. You can't really see the strike zone like you do on TV, so you don't know what type of control the pitcher's really dealing with. Like you basically have no insight except for what your eyes are seeing. So if you're going to a baseball game, especially one that matters to you, like you got to go radio in the ear.
Are you going to also become pencil and scorecard guy?
You know what? Back in the day there were several years when my parents and I had season tickets to the Astros, I kept a scorecard every now and then.
I did it every now and then when I was a little kid, too.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun to do. I mean, I'm never going to do it again because if you look over and the guy in the seat next to you is keeping balls and strikes, like that's a serial killer move.
If someday, you know, like you're 75 and your wife's dead and like you live in a city with a pro baseball team, you get yourself some season tickets and you go
count balls
to
and
every
strikes.
Single game and you count balls and strikes.
Okay, that's different. That's different. I can't remember what you were just talking about that I had something to say.
Radio in the ear guy.
Oh, props to Bateman, and thank you, Dan. He made it look good.
He did.
Like,
he did.
This wasn't like some fucking wires hanging out all over the place looking like an idiot type of shit.
He looked like
an FBI agent.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was good.
It was or Secret Service.
Looked like he just walked off the set of a movie too. Like his hair was perfect. Like he had makeup on.
Bateman's
what
living
a good,
a good
looking
life.
Man.
He was wearing. He also both nights he was wearing just a really nice like Patagonia Nano Puff jacket, which I'm pretty sure you could cop on Man Outfitters.
He probably got it from ManOutfitters.com.
He sure did.
The man is aging well. That just is a testament to money.
He is a national treasure.
He was on the front row looking like a snack.
Fuck. That's two. Also, he was next to Jeff Bagwell's wife last night. And Bagwell was on the other side of him, which is just Bagwell and Bateman. Their two looks could not be more different.
Yes.
Bagwell dresses like shit. And
Bateman's
has a
pretty boy.
And Bateman is a pretty boy.
Yeah.
Looks good. Let's talk about Correa's proposal. So in the post game, like first of all, I underestimated one of the reasons it felt a little anticlimactic to me, if that's even possible, is because of the celebrating on Dodger Stadium field.
Yeah, and
it sucks. It sucks, but it is what it is. I mean, come on, like, you'll take it.
Right,
if somebody tells you
of course.
Can win a championship on it has to be an away game, you're still going to take the fucking championship. That being said, the post game part of it's a little anticlimactic, like 10 minutes in because. The celebration with the players has kind of started to die down. You don't get the crowd noise. Like, Minute Maid was a madhouse in Houston for, like, hours afterward. At Dodger Stadium, emptied. And so it's just the guys in the field, and, you know, they've got a microphone, and they're talking to both the television and the entire stadium, but there's nobody in the fucking stadium, so it's a little weird. It's a weird vibe. So I was a little taken aback by that. I was just like, yeah, I wish we'd gotten in Houston, but fuck it. Correa dropping to a knee mid-interview, and the way he flawlessly executed that proposal is something he deserves a lot of credit for.
Question. At what point did he go retrieve the ring.
Don't. That's why I'm so curious.
Did he sprint down to the locker room? Did he have someone designated? Are you bringing this to me? That's probably what happened.
I saw like a headline and like a subline that I think explained that where I think he said where he had the ring. I didn't get a chance to read it.
So I'm also curious, like, what was his backup plan? I'm sure somebody's asked him, or maybe they don't because it's disrespectful. Like, what if they lost?
He sent it to Africa.
I don't think he sent it to Africa. But, I mean, it's like, it's just an interesting play because everything has to go perfectly. Then you have to not botch the proposal on live TV. And, like, I'm pretty safe in assuming that he was confident she was going to say yes. I don't think that her saying yes or no factored in. It's just the overall execution. And if you saw that thing, it did not look cheap at all.
No.
It was fucking huge. It was Kardashian-esque. It was a massive rock.
It was.
Miss Texas USA. Congratulations to her.
Yeah.
Really?
Congratulations to Carlos.
And his lovely wife.
Not a huge fan of this move.
Love it.
This upsets me.
It's more of a move about, look at me.
What? No, I'm going to tell you why. Because I pulled up the box score. Carlos Correa, at-bats, 4 hits, 0.
Oh, shit.
I wonder why. Because he's got a fucking ring hidden in his
you
pocket.
You think that was in the back of his mind a little bit?
Hoping that if they win, stressing that if they win, he's going to do this proposal post-game on TV. You don't think that's hanging over your head?
Wow.
If you've played this?
I can guarantee you he did not
Perhaps.
Think about this
Why don't
shit.
You get your head in the game, and maybe you wouldn't have batted like 117 in the World Series?
Whoa.
Let's say she said no. Would that have been like the most bittersweet moment in human history?
That was not a possibility. Even if she didn't want to marry him, she's still saying yes in that moment.
For sake of argument, is that the most bittersweet moment if you win the World Series and then get denied
marriage? Yes, hypothetically, yes.
Yeah.
That Barrett, would have been interesting thing to bring up.
Okay, but here's why I don't buy into that.
You know he was thinking about it.
He had to have been.
I don't know, man.
Dude.
I feel like the World Series is so engrossing that your mind is locked in. And he was batting shitty the first 6 games. It's not like this all of a sudden he was like, I can't hit.
You've dropped to a knee. I've dropped to a knee. It is an anxiety filled day.
Yeah, but you haven't played in a World Series, and I haven't played in a World Series.
Okay, to be fair, I actually pulled up Game 6. He went 1-for-4 last night, so not as bad.
Oh, that's reasonable.
But still, 1-for-8 in Game 6 and 7.
Well, okay, look.
Wow, man, you're gonna pick this apart?
And, dude, you're going after, like, the face of the franchise behind Altuve and Paul.
You just won the World Series. You're going to be overly critical
now?
Yeah,
it's just weird. To me, it's like there's an underlying thing here, and it's not about Carlos. It's about you.
you just can't be happy.
Okay, you remember when it's kind of the same thing, though, as Odell Beckham going down to the boat on Miami or Tony Romo going to Cabo before the playoff game.
Oh, come on.
Like you open yourself up to the criticism.
Well, hopefully not from your own fans. And you only get the criticism if you lose, which the other two examples of people you did lost.
That's fair. That's
he
fair.
Didn't lose.
I just had to bring it up. I just had to bring it up.
I thought it was badass. Because here's what your proposal is about. And for
how old
you,
is he?
For you, and, like 24 or something.
He's young. Yeah.
For
too
you
young,
and your
Carlos.
Wife, it's about making it the most memorable possible moment of your life. How the fuck do you top that? Walking off the field, winning a World Series in Los Angeles after defeating 3 of the most storied franchises in the history of baseball in dominant fashion in Game 7 and then proposing to your Miss Texas USA girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
To him, yeah, but I feel
living.
Like...
Fuck it.
He's I feel like to right her, now. Like her point of view, maybe not as cool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's like because you're sharing your special day with...
Oh, no. She's
yeah,
she's
I doubt
doing
she
just
minds.
Fine.
That
she's
thing looked like
fine.
It was worth a couple million, so I don't know if she's going to be bitching about...
They had hot sex last night.
Yeah.
The hottest.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think had hotter sex last night? Correa and the new fiancé?
Undoubtedly
or,
Correa.
Or Springer and
who's his boo?
His mommy.
We know who didn't have hot sex, and that's Verlander and Upton, because they're incapable of having hot sex due to their goofiness. However, if I'm picking between one of the three couples to watch have sex... It's probably Verlander and Upton just for the pure entertainment value.
Comical.
They are fucking weird. The man took a photo with his camera phone of her back covered in his splooge because he was so blown away by how much he splooged.
Yeah.
That's a weird move. And I also respect
I like
that
they're
you
so
see
comfortable
this.
With each other. Like, oh, look, dude, look at how much guns
that's,
on your back.
That's what
pick.
I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I fucking love it. Like the mirror selfies they did, the nude mirror
selfies.
Yeah. Those are not normal couple
photos. They seem really comfortable with each other.
Couldn't be more comfortable.
I'm very happy for them.
Yes. Dude, you know who crushed me? Like, I emotionally held it together until Carlos Beltran was crying like a little baby on the field.
Was he?
He broke the fuck down. It that was the floodgates for me. I was like, I can't.
That's his first championship?
Yeah.
Okay. He's been all over.
He's old.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about, he's fat Ronaldo body and style now.
He contributed very little to this one, but still, he got a ring.
Dude, he's essentially a coach.
Sure.
That's what he's doing.
He's so out of shape looking. He's like, let himself go.
He's like 40.
You can stay in shape as you get turned 40. What are you talking about? He like doesn't stay in shape anymore.
When you're 40 years old and you're worth a couple $100 million.
He's got like loose like necks. He's like fat now.
He's Latin American fat though. He's like Ronaldo. It's cute.
You're a baseball player.
Hey now.
You're a baseball player.
Different kind of fat. This isn't a turkey necked white politician.
Hey, you said
fat
it.
Guy.
You said it.
I am saying it. They can pull that shit off. We can't.
Latinos be eating.
Okay.
Okay. I did not say that.
We get some nasty
obesity
voicemails.
Hashtag obesity. But all in all, easily over even the Rockets, who I love more than my own family, it was the most enjoyable sports night of my life. And I'm still kind of like, it hasn't really hit me.
That's because nothing good has ever happened to the Rockets. Since 1995.
Dude, okay. I would equate like us making the Western Conference Championship a couple years back to a huge moment in my sports life. Like, I was like, this fucking awesome. I was so pumped. I knew we were going to get the shit kicked out of us by the Warriors. But that was like essentially like a little championship.
For you, does it go in order of what you would enjoy most? NBA, MLB, NFL for your Houston teams winning the championship?
That's so hard, dude. Because it really depends. Like, here's what makes that impossible. This is the most likable Houston team in terms of personalities and characters on one team that I've ever... Because it's baseball. There's more guys on the roster. You get to know all of them. You get to see interviews with all of them. Like, it's not basketball where there's, like, eight guys who matter. You know what I mean? It's not the NFL where half your team is, like, fucking... You don't even recognize them.
Baseball is generally, like, likable weird dudes.
Baseball guy is not my guy. But when he's when like all right, Bregman is a perfect example. Bregman is probably a douchebag, and if he wasn't a Houston Astro, I would probably destroy Bregman. But he is, so he's my douchebag, and I'll fight anyone who says anything bad about that guy ever, because that was an unbelievable performance. Like,
he's sick.
I've never seen anyone play third base like that with the lights that bright.
Yeah,
without ever.
It was impressive.
And he had some clutch hits, too. That guy's a fucking ball player.
He won game five, right?
He did.
Yes.
And he was drafted, what, just 2 years ago?
Yeah, number
like
two.
He's so young.
Number two in the draft.
23, 22?
He's a young dude, man. Yeah.
But he went to college, so he might be 24.
Oh, I fucking love that team.
Yeah, what are the rules for college baseball? Like 2 or 3 years you have to
you
stay?
If you commit
to college, you have to be there for 3 years.
For 3 years, yeah.
Oh shit! Really?
That's why a lot of them go pro immediately.
I didn't even know that. Now I do. Learn something new every day on Backdoor Cover. You're welcome. Anything else from the game we need to touch on? Oh fuck, dude! Charlie Morton.
Who the fuck is that?
Largely will go without credit from the general public. Obviously, sports commentators, people who really know baseball, will give him his due. But I think it's in large part due to his insignificant looks. He's not ugly or handsome.
He's pretty lanky.
He's got kind of shitty facial hair. And he's just kind of he's just kind of a lanky white guy out there who's just like...
He fucking throws heat.
And he's got no real expression or emotion. In out of all the stars in the series, the guy's name's Charlie Morton. No one cares. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the way he got colored in.
Like, when you are in a video game and the default create a character, that's Charlie Morton.
That's Charlie Morton, yes. Yeah. The guy they give you to be your franchise guy or whatever when you, like, this is you. This is
to
you.
Build off of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, the default.
You start with a zero skill set in the video game. Okay, he pretty much won the World Series for us.
Yeah. He was awesome.
And I don't even like... Dude, they retired his... They put something from him in the Hall of Fame. You know how they take shit from the World Series?
Yeah,
they took,
yeah.
Like, Bregman's glove, which is... I don't even know. I feel like I'd want that.
Yeah.
Him.
No one's taking my club.
Dude, now nobody's taking my fucking club, man.
He's got to go oil up another one. Yeah. Break that thing in.
Dude, sucker in.
These players are attached to their.
Yeah. They're very superstitious.
Yeah. I don't know if you're letting them take, but obviously you give it up. But there was like a couple other things, and they took something from Charlie. And it's just like, I can't believe it all came down to Charlie Morton. And that he was he was the pitcher who came through in the clutch.
Pitched his dick off.
To lock up the World Series.
The most terrifying thing about last night, though, and I mean, I was tweeting about this, is that Hinch went to Devenski, Liriano, and Musgrove. Dude, Peacock.
It was
Peacock,
genius.
Peacock, Liriano, and Devenski before he went to Morton.
He reversed
I was sitting there freaking out that he wasn't putting Morton in.
Dude, it was awesome. He reversed it. He fucking balked for everybody.
Because Morton's been dealing.
He took all the closers or the whatever. He took the guys that you normally throw in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, and he threw them in the middle of the fucking game.
Yeah.
And then he let Charlie get 12 straight outs to close the thing out. It was fucking genius.
And you had Verlander in the pen at the end. Didn't
he did.
Who else?
And Keuchel.
And Keuchel, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, it was
hands
flawless.
On
after a series,
that's another thing that's great about playoff baseball is you don't know who the fuck's coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, dude. At it's one awesome. Point, we had Giles.
Especially in game
and,
sevens.
Yeah.
No, it was from a series where baseball is also the easiest sport to question your management because you have no idea all the statistics and shit that goes into the decisions they make, and seemingly they can make some pretty fucking stupid decisions. Like letting Brett Giles anywhere near the field at any point seemed like a very dumb thing. Yet, he was an incredibly effective closer much of the season. It's hard for a coach to just drop off. Like I feel like it's easier for us to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, point being, props to A.J. Hinch. He withstood a shit ton of shit talking, including from Dodgers fans in a bar during the series. And he made all the right moves last night and made it super easy for guys like me who thought they might die to just be a little more chill on the couch and enjoy the fucking win rather than being like, oh God, oh, we blew it.
And for Giles, you know, this is a big plus for Dan. Now that he's blown it with us, he'll probably get you 40 saves in a World Series in 3 years.
Yeah, he'll probably be Phillies.
Hello, Brad Lidge reference right there.
Yeah. Yes. Also, though, I think things actually did go as well as possible for Giles because he didn't get run back out there for the potential to actually full-blown pull a... who are we just referencing? My mind is not...
Brad Lidge.
Brad Lidge. To pull a full-blown Lidge. If Giles had gone back out and given up a homer to Jock Peterson, that would have been going full Brad Lidge and ruined several years of his career. By the way, Jock Peterson, one of the most punchable professional athletes on the face of the earth.
I don't know. I like him.
Oh, my God.
He's got some swagger.
I don't see that so much.
I think it's
because you're an Astros fan.
Yes. I think
and he owned you.
He's one of the
celebration after his home run in Game 6 was a little obnoxious.
The Manziel?
The pay me?
Okay. Yeah. Well, what I gave it yesterday is that it's essentially how I would celebrate. Is what he's doing, like being a normal fucking douchebag, and that really pisses me off. I don't want to watch you dance around the bases doing the money sign, dude. Like, that's what I would do.
Well,
you don't do that.
And we've talked about this over the week. What also made it so infuriating is that in one of his first at-bats in game one or two, Smoltz piled on this guy.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
Like,
he fucking wrecked
trashed him.
Him.
He trashed him. He was up there, so he was
Jock?
Like, yeah. Yes. Smoltz was like, the only reason this guy is even on a professional baseball team is because he's got good power, but he's like he's missing good pitches. He's swinging out of the zone, like basically can't stay on top of anything.
It was bizarre. It was like Smoltz at some point this guy like had sex with his wife or something.
And that at bat, he hit the first homer of his four in the World Series and he was
Dodgers fans
was
on Twitter.
Wow, I missed all that.
Dodgers fans on Twitter were irate with Smoltz. It was, did
you guys,
it was bizarre.
Did you catch that little jab Joe Buck had at Smoltz last night where he was talking about McCann saying that I think Morton's the best stuff he's ever seen.
Yeah, that Morton's game four was the best stuff he's ever caught.
And he's caught John Smoltz. So he's just kind of like,
fuck John Smoltz.
Yeah. So Joe Buck just kind of like jabbed at John Smoltz.
Okay, to be fair, I like Smoltz as a commentator.
I do too.
I hated him. When he was in the league, for obvious reasons.
When he's a Brave, yeah.
Fuck John Smoltz, but...
Poor Yu Darvish. Let's shout out to Yu Darvish.
Fuck,
that
dude.
Guy had an abysmal series.
Okay, why'd they throw him out there in Game 7?
I think they just had to. They were running out of people, man.
Clearly, Kershaw was ready to go.
Kershaw couldn't have gone...
Yeah, but Kershaw
couldn't give you more than like three or four strong innings.
Yeah, probably not. But
in the game before, it wasn't like Kershaw was dealing.
You couldn't give you a half of a strong.
They had. I mean, he would.
I read a little bit.
A good pitcher.
I read a little bit about this and like a couple things. One, Yu Darvish on most teams would be the game one ace starter. He is a very, very good pitcher.
Very good.
And like just like Hinch did with Springer, like. When you have your A-plus guys, you got to keep the faith in them.
I mean, the Dodgers went and got him midseason right before the trade deadline for this series.
Yes.
That's why they got him.
And the other thing is, if Roberts does put Kershaw out there on 2 days rest and Kershaw gives up like six runs in the first inning,
he's like an
that's
asshole.
Even worse.
Yeah, that's much worse.
And the third thing is that Kershaw went in there and I'm not going to say pressureless, but down 5-1. That's not the same as starting game seven with
good point.
0-0.
But I'm with you. I feel bad for you. He got crushed both games.
Yeah.
It looked like they were hitting soft pitch. Yeah. It was fucked up.
It was ugly.
One other thing, speaking of you and the earlier racism that was referenced, the little Asian guy from The Hangover.
Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong was there, and at one point he was dancing on top of the Astros dugout with a Los Angeles Dodgers flag, and Carlos Correa stood up and threw water on him. And they've got this shot that I put out on Twitter, if you haven't seen it, at WR Bolin, that somebody captured this incredible photo of him throwing water on Ken Jeong. I hate Ken Jeong. Not enough to do the slanty-eyed mocking Asian people like a psycho, like fucking Gurriel did, but which all the way. By the way, come on, man, he got caught up in the moment. He was just fucking around. Anybody who's actually offended by that needs to chill the fuck out.
He also just got here from Cuba. He doesn't have a full handle on racial tension in America and like what's acceptable and what's not.
His helmet tip gesture. How do you feel about that?
I thought it was necessary. I don't think his facial expression actually did it.
He looked embarrassed.
The still photos I've seen of it, he was ashamed.
He looked embarrassed.
He's ashamed.
Yeah.
What about his fucking hair?
I love the hair.
It's trash.
It's awful.
Well, we've spoken about baseball hair before.
This goes beyond baseball hair.
They all have bad hair. But here's the photo of Ken Jeong.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just
earlier.
Getting doused. And fuck, I hate that guy. But he's also a really good dude. I just don't like him.
From non-biased fans, y'all think Yuli should have been suspended one World Series game? Or do you agree with the five?
I like that they suspend him five games.
I think regular season.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
Do you think the
NBA should have
with like Draymond and
suspended
stuff?
Draymond yeah. for longer and for the regular season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. Because it takes away the opportunity for people to say that was the only reason they won.
Right.
And then he's always gonna have this hanging over his head the entire offseason.
Right, right.
Yes, that's also a good point. Like, that's
so,
full-blown punishment.
He'll be answering questions about it, like, beginning of next season.
LA fans were naturally furious
we
that he wasn't
done the
suspended
same thing.
For a game.
We
would have
done
World
the same
series,
thing.
And we would have done the same thing. And Dodgers fans booed the shit out of him. And Astros fans didn't care. And
the pitchers.
And the exact same thing would have happened had the roles been reversed.
The pitchers giving them extra time to boo him was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a savvy move.
That was funny. Anything else on the World Series?
Yeah, I did I wanted to say one more thing about Charlie Morton because he was so good. I just wanted to read Thomas's text. In both Morton's wins, when they interview him after, it's like he just got an oil change and is doing a survey from Jiffy Lube. But at the same time, after this one, you could see him kind of tearing up. And that was the first time that I teared up last night. And I just...
Because Charlie broke?
Yeah.
How many innings did he go?
Four, right?
12 straight outs.
So I just want
in the World Series.
I just want to give shouts to Charlie Morton.
It was only 50 some pitches.
You have to have stones.
That's badass.
Stones.
Hell of a win/hold/save.
He has sick stuff,
dude. Oh, dude, some of the slider. First of all, you weren't supposed to be able to throw a slider. I thought he could. His slider was incredibly effective.
They switched out the balls.
Oh, maybe that's why you was in a little ineffective. He's a slider guy.
That's what people said.
That
the first
is what
time.
People are saying. Yeah. But starting in Game Six. Everybody was seemingly able to throw the slider again.
It's weird. Charlie's was fantastic. Last shot.
Face emoji.
Dude, George Springer. Unfucking real.
Yeah.
To go game one, strike out four consecutive times, and have had not so great an ALCS, ALDS, and then come out and just shit on everybody like that. with one of the most historic hitting performances in the history of baseball ever. He broke the home run record for the World Series.
Tied it with
Chase Utley.
And
before Reggie Jackson. And Reggie Jackson.
Who hasn't had a hit since, like, Chase Utley hasn't had a hit since he was like a Philly.
Before his home run, when it was against you. You knew something bad was just about to happen for the Dodgers. It was just, you just knew. Like, this is not going to go well.
That was it. But, dude, unreal.
Series.
Unreal performance from him. I mean, he has such a pretty swing. It's like almost Ken Griffey-esque in its length, where it's like when he misses, it's like.
All right. You're
like.
Pump the brakes.
Okay, you know what I'm saying. It's like. It's not the smoothness that Griffey had. It's the fucking way his bat is like so ridiculously extended.
Yeah, yeah.
That every time he misses a pitch, it looks like he was trying to hit it 500 feet.
Right. Speaking of long, picturesque swings, Cody Bellinger needs to reevaluate his approach at the plate. Because, my God, that guy could not touch a baseball. I felt bad for him, too.
Dude, you know he was, like, unbelievable all year.
Oh,
he
set a rookie record.
He was unbelievable
in
the playoffs until, like the last three games.
He was unbelievable.
If Judge didn't exist, he would have been, like, a lock for rookie of the year.
He could not touch
the
baseball.
We still might get National League.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. But, yeah, I think he struck out 8 consecutive times in Game 5 and 6 and then twice in Game 7.
Well, he just looked really uncomfortable at the plate. It wasn't just like he was getting good swings on the ball and missing. He was like, he got rattled. He completely lost his way.
Speaking of Aaron Judge, he actually, you know how Aaron Judge set the postseason strikeout record? It lasted like 2 weeks because this motherfucker broke it.
I'm not feeling bad for Cody Bellinger.
Me either.
He'll be all right.
He'll have a fantastic
career. What is he, like 23, 24 years old?
Right. Has everything. Like,
yeah, he'll be all right. I'm just saying, but you're absolutely right.
Dashing young fella.
Things couldn't have gone worse for him and you. And you can't really feel bad for either of those guys. You's had an outstanding career, and Bellinger has so much time left.
By the way, Utley needs to hang him up.
Too. Yeah.
He can't hit anymore.
He needs to hang it up like 3 years ago.
He's done.
And then he needs to go get a haircut
that
fits his fucking age.
Right.
And then he needs to just go be on TV.
Like, after this series, I'm strongly considering renaming my dog.
Yeah, what is your dog's name?
Chase Mutley.
That is so absurd.
Hey, the Dodgers were super cool about McCullers hitting 4 batters in 2 innings last night.
Well, yeah. Okay. Props to McCullers Jr. for pegging 4 people. That was awesome. I don't know. I think it was his cutter that he was like completely could
he
not
He lost
hit.
Control of one of those pitches because it was the same pitch every time.
Yes, it was.
It has to be. Like, an ump throws you out if you hit like 2.
It was the record for most batters pegged in a World Series game. We broke like 8 records.
You don't get thrown out when it's clearly unintentional.
No, and every single one of them was very clearly unintentional.
Yeah, but
fortunately, nobody got hurt.
The dude clearly doesn't have control. I feel like just for safety reasons, you have to like toss
him.
Well,
that's eventually AJ Hinch was like, "Okay, buddy, we're done here."
Yeah, yeah. Like, and he was kind of he looked upset coming out of
pissed.
The game.
He was pissed.
Like pissed that he was coming out.
You have to be pissed.
But after the game, he even said he was like, "I didn't have much out there."
He said that the day before he knew he wasn't going to have much, which is. Like, really
Why
concerning,
would you say
to
that?
Be quite honest. Like, don't say that, dude. Fuck.
Think about the psychological advantage you have, though, as a pitcher after you just pegged 3 guys.
It's true.
4
it's
guys.
True.
Yeah, but, like, the 3rd one, and you still didn't get tossed.
Right, right, yeah. They're like, what's he able to do out there? He could just peg me in the face.
This could be right down the middle, or it could be in my
Why
fucking chin.
Why aren't they taking this guy out yet?
No, like, the 4th batter, I was like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous.
I mean, and we have to go back and look, but I think after at least 2 of those hit-by-pitch, he struck the next guy out.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had all his other stuff.
Yeah, so.
He just didn't have whatever that was.
You got to back him off the plate, man.
Fucking, it was very entertaining. Okay, we're gonna cease. Congratulations to our Houston Astros.
It feels good, man. It's real good.
Congratulations to me. Congratulations to Barrett.
Thank you.
All of Houston. Obviously, it's even bigger because of Hurricane Harvey and everything that went down. I know it seems repetitive at this point, but it really does mean a lot to everybody in Houston, even more so than it would normally. And what was it, 56 years? 52 years? 50-something years the Astros have existed. Never won a World Series game, and now we've won a World Series, period.
State of Texas finally has a World Series.
We do.
Yeah.
Dude, Dallas was super cool about they put up like a Go Astros thing on downtown.
That's soft.
People are pissed. If they did that shit in Houston, we would burn that building down.
Yeah,
if they put Go Dallas on a building in Houston, that building is not going to exist in the morning.
If they put like black and yellow lights on like a skyscraper in Philadelphia after the Pirates won the World Series,
you set that skyscraper on fire.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you don't do
Philly
that.
Philly fans definitely would. Yeah,
I am a little surprised, but also appreciative. I understand that they did it because of Hurricane Harvey as well. But chill out, Rangers fans and Dallas fans.
That's true. I forget about the natural.
That's why they
element.
Did it. That's why they did it, and that's what makes it okay. And that's what, if the shoe was on the other foot, I would be cool with it based on the fact that it was in support of the city, not necessarily the team.
Right.
And but Dallas fans on Twitter were losing their fucking minds. Like, if you go check the City of Dallas tweet that's they sent out the picture, the replies are just infuriated psycho Rangers fans and Cowboys fans. And anyway, fuck Dallas. Go Astros.
And
also
that's
thank
why
you, Dallas, for the kind gesture. You fucking losers. One strike away twice, and we got there before you. You fucking suck.
That's why sports are the best, though.
Oh, suck our dicks. All right. That's it for the special edition episode, World Series champion Houston Astros edition of this podcast. We want to thank Barrett Dudley for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Barrett, where can everyone follow
our pleasure,
you on?
Barrett.
On what'd you say?
I said our pleasure.
Oh, okay. Where can I thought you said something about being a snack again, and I was going to have to smack you.
I was thinking it, but I didn't say it.
Okay. Can we get a scorecard where you just keep track of snacks?
It's a terrible saying.
Only had two.
It's three.
And for those who are unaware, a quick explanation. Dylan is forcing, like a snack, the phrase, down our throats.
Look, when I latch on to something, I just wear it the fuck out.
Yeah, we were aware.
Are we over that country song yet?
Oh, no. We are still a heartache on the dance floor.
You can't. God damn it. You're giving this guy too much run. You are.
You're right.
Barrett, where can everybody follow you on Twitter, Instagram,
you
Snapchat?
Can get at me on Twitter and on Instagram and on Snapchat at Barrett Dudley. That's B-A-R-R-E-T-T Dudley.
D-U-D-L-E-Y.
Yeah, everybody knows how to spell that.
If you love Game of Thrones, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, Barrett and I host a podcast called Oysters, Clams, and Cockles with Veronica Ruck that right now we're in the midst of what we're calling the Night's Rewatch, which is we've started back from season one, episode one, and we're doing an episode of the podcast for every single episode of Game of Thrones.
That's right, one a week.
So that we can go into the final season of the show as prepared as possible, and you can come with us, take the black, subscribe to Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, enjoy more from Barrett. Again, Barrett, thank you. I'm Ross Bolin. You can follow me on all social media at WR Bolin. Thank you to my co-hosts, who have been very congratulatory and gracious.
Hey,
Dan
man.
Regester, where can they follow you?
It must be nice, though, actually having people watch your World Series games.
It was very, very nice.
Like, as a guy from Philadelphia whose only championship was a rained out like series that only went five that nobody watched. It was like the least watched World Series of all time. Does it really even count?
Yes.
If nobody saw it, did it really happen?
Nobody could take that from you, Dan.
Yeah. Plus, that the Phillies had a good run. Like, everybody remembers the Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley Phillies. You know what I mean?
And then we got greedy, and then we got this entire, like, pitching staff, just, like, the four horsemen, and then that's when everything went to shit.
Well, but you won a World Series.
Yeah, with Cole Hamels by himself.
Where can everyone follow you on social media?
Dan _ Regester on Twitter, and then Dan Regester on Instagram and Snapchat.
Dylan, what about you?
At D Shivery. Go Rangers.
Okay. Follow us on Twitter at Backdoor Cover, on Instagram at Backdoor Cover Podcast. We would really appreciate it if you'd hit iTunes, leave us a review, tell us what you thought about the World Series episode. If you're a Dallas fan, tell me how much you appreciate me telling you to suck my dick and suck my dick. That's it. Our hotline number is 800-392-6344. We've got a college football and NFL podcast coming out shortly. Be sure to check that out as well.
We're going back to back.
We're going back to back.
We got to bring the energy.
Backdoor cover, back to back.
I need to get something.
Go Astros.